This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Ladies and gentlemen, time for another quarter edition of Thursday Coast. In the midst of what has been an incredible past few days, almost indescribable. Just when we think we have seen everything that can be seen in a news cycle, something else happens we aren't expecting. Just what, barely a week ago, maybe a little more than a week ago, we were talking about an assassination attempt, not even in the news anymore, barely in the news, like it never happened. It's just not registered. And now we have a new Democratic nominee. Just the last time we talked, we were like, we don't know about this. It looked a little crazy. But the level of enthusiasm has been unbelievable. This just might work, I think. Let's hear what Mark thinks. From Daily Coast, of course, he is founder of Daily Coast, founder of Civics with a Q, a host of the ever popular podcast, The Brief, Marcos Melitzis. Man, this is feeling, man. You feeling hopeful? You feeling optimistic?
Mark, you know me, I was always hopeful and optimistic. So I wasn't down in the dumps with everybody else. But boy, it's nice to have everybody else join me.
Right.
And there's no doubt the way things have shaped out that we're in a better position than we were with Joe Biden. I was cautious. I'll say that I was cautious. And I didn't know. My issue was if Biden wasn't going to step aside, beating up on him week after week wasn't really helping us. It was actually dragging him down even more. But apparently it worked. And I'm not particularly crazy about how it happened, but it happened. And we're all, man, everybody's raring to go. Holy crap. Single biggest fundraising day in politics, in any kind of politics. Not, I was going to say president. No, in anything. Single biggest day in electoral politics fundraising. 30,000 people signed up to volunteer in battleground states. She had these blockbuster black women, black, you were part of the black men call, Mark. Those were unbelievable. Daily Coast alone has raised over $600,000 for Kamala Harris in the last day. People are showing up again. People had tuned out and they're showing up at Daily Coast. Their engagement or traffic is off the charts. People are just excited. The millennials and the Zoomers, the Gen Z people, they got their own memes going on TikTok that I don't even understand. Maybe somebody will explain to me what Brett Summer is all about. And what's amazing about it all, Mark, is that Republicans were completely caught flat-footed. I don't understand how they did not have a plan ready to go. They're the ones that demanding that Joe Biden step down, and then he steps down, and they're going like, wait, no, we didn't actually.
No step down. We didn't mean it.
You can't do that. Can you do that?
Yeah, it has been, it's really been something. But let's go back to the process. I think we both agreed the process wasn't ideal. But what else could have happened? Because I'll be honest with you, Marcos, I don't think anybody else wanted to do this anyway. We, on my side, we were like, you can't leapfrog over Kamala. But by the same token, who really wants to start from scratch with, let's say, effectively 90 days? Maybe even less if you start with early voting. Who really would want, and who could have been, let's say, either Gavin or Gretchen were the strongest of all and lights out. I didn't really see them saying, I feel like y'all set me up. This is 90 days. So what else possibly could have happened? I'm still not happy with the way it happened. And frankly, I think some of the people who made it happen still have more work to do. Nancy, for example, she didn't endorse right away. Again, this notion that there would have been a mini primary. If nobody indicated to you that they were interested before Joe got out, why would you think they'd want to do another primary one?
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. Go ahead.
Two, I think Nancy's got to do more. Because here's the key, and this goes back, I'm going to cut right to the chase. Those four words you and I have talked about ad nauseum: suburban, college-educated, white women. Nancy's got to help because that's it. I'm clear. I think you're clear. That's the difference. We know what black women are going to do. We know what black men are going to do, other than the handful that are going to be with Trump. And according to Joy Reid's numbers, that number is no different from what you always have a certain percentage of black men that go Republican, whatever. That's not over. That's not changing. It's the same number. It just looks for more, like more, because everybody's talking on social media like they're rapping. So it's negligible. Okay.
Yeah.
And the black man on the black man's call prove that. Okay. Suburban college, they have got to, we have got to make sure that they don't pull a hill. They don't pull a 2016. I think it's unlikely because in 2016, nobody believed Roe was going to be reversed. Now they know it has. I got a text saying, we just won. I said, what do you mean? And the person said, the court ruled that Iowa's 6-week abortion ban goes in effect Monday. That's what they were telling me. So we just won the election after that. So maybe they're right. I hope so. Bad for the news, bad for the women in Iowa. But if that's what happens, it's what happens. But I think Nancy's got to go front and center. She can do all these other things. She's got to talk to women in her constituency and gather other women. Shannon Watts is saying that there needs to be a win with white women call. Like a win with black women call, needs to be a win with white women call. But to me, man, that's got to be it. We can leave no stone unturned. They've got to know this race, all of the stuff anybody's ever tripped about in the past. If you ever want a shot to restore your bodily autonomy existentially as a woman in this country, you got to make sure we win the White House, the House, and the Senate. And then overnight, you got law. It's codified. There's just, they can't trip. They cannot trip, Marcos.
Yeah, I don't, I'm going to be more generous to Pelosi and Schumer and Obama, who I don't think has endorsed yet. I'm going to be more, and I'll tell you why. And it's a stupid reason. This is so freaking dumb, right? But this is Beltway thinking. So the thinking is, Kamala obviously had it, right? The endorsements flooded. There's no doubt that she was going to be the nominee. Just being able to inherit the $90 million alone, right, it was reason enough, even though she raised that much in 24 hours. But she inherits the organization, the campaign machinery. It's seamless. People know her. She has the name ID. She has the trappings of incumbency without a lot of the baggage of incumbency. Like, the advantages were so obvious and so clear beyond just, you don't want to leapfrog over a black woman. You didn't even have to go there. That was like at the very end of the list of reasons why you wouldn't want to do it. And so the thinking was, and again, this is really freaking dumb. The thinking was there was fear that people would, because there was a bit, we know this, Mark, that there was a coup. Right. Against Joe Biden, a bit of an internal party coup with senior leaders and donors, big donors, said, we're not going to fund him. He needs to go. And it was. And so the fear was that if they immediately came out and said, and it's Harris, then that people would be like, see, it told you it was a coup. Right. So their idea was to sit back and let the process play out. Fine. It's actually not bad thinking. First of all, the only people who care about that would be people in the Beltway, like media. And who care? At this point, I can't believe anybody gives a damn what Ezra Klein or George Will, whoever the hell, I don't even know who these people are anymore. Who cares what they think? Number one. But number two, it was very obvious within, I don't know, 3 hours that the grassroots energy was behind Kamala. And so this notion that we're like, oh, we're gonna sit back and we're going to let some mythical process play out, which maybe made sense before the decision was made. If, imagine a different world where Kamala said, yeah, I'm running, but then Governor Whitmore of Michigan steps in and Gavin Newsom steps in. And then you're like, okay, yeah, we're not going to, you don't want party leaders imposing that decision. But within 3 hours, all those people had said, we're not running. Most of them endorsed Kamala. The grassroots was raising money at millions of dollars an hour. I think at that point, I was like, okay, you know what? Nobody's going to accuse us of imposing Kamala when our own base, our own grassroots, they're like excited out of their minds about Kamala, right? So I think this is just, it's not that it was nefarious or that they're trying to undermine her or that they won't work hard for her. Of course they will. I think it was just they're trying to game out something that just didn't happen. And in hindsight, it's silly to think that it might have happened. And so that's what it is. They just didn't take advantage of the opportunity when they saw it happen. So they were just playing it safe. I'm not going to beat up on them. I have no doubt that every single Democrat is going to work their ass off to defeat Trump. Everybody knows what's at stake.
Can she win?
Kamala?
Yeah.
She's going to win. She is going to win.
Now, look, you're my man, and I quote you off the air.
Oh, shit. On the air.
Really. So when people call me with all this stuff, I say, no, Marco's my man. He got civics. So I'm not just, when I'm talking to people, I'm not just speaking on emotion. I'm letting people know I'm talking to somebody who's got some authority in this and who knows the numbers. And we try to come off on the show like experts. So I'm saying, break that down for our audience, Marcos. I mean,
all right, I'll break it down. It was a 50-50 race with Joe Biden on the ticket. And all at the time, I always said that abortion, people's fear of democracy, people's just tuning in later on in fear of Trump being Trump as a focus on Trump. I thought that would give it the edge to Joe Biden. And even the 538 probability tracker basically had a 50-50. Like it had Biden up by 52-48. And so with a less than good situation, it was a 50-50 race. Kamala in civics polling, she's +4 over Biden already, automatically 4 points plus. Independents that had leaned towards Trump because they bought this whole Biden is too old are now leaning towards Harris. And now Trump is literally the oldest presidential candidate in America, oldest presidential nominee in American history is now Donald Trump. They spent a whole year making a narrative that being old was bad, and now it gets to get sued against Donald Trump, and he feeds into it, right? Because he's just as cognitively declined as Joe Biden was. So we're going to be able to make hay of that. But just data-wise, so you have +4. It was a 50-50 race. Now add 4 points because of Kamala Harris. She's raising money hand over fist. Tens of thousands new volunteers. The Trump campaign still doesn't have almost any field operation anywhere because that takes work. Incompetence, and that's not a thing that the Trump campaign or Trump himself really surrounds himself with. And Kamala is a far better messenger. Oh my God, Mark, so much better messenger on Trump's criminality and abortion. For whatever reason, Joe Biden had a hard time saying Donald Trump is a convicted felon. We've just seen Harris just one day in, she's done two rallies. And in both rallies, she talked about how she, as a prosecutor, put criminals behind bars. She knows criminals like Donald Trump because she put them behind bars. It absolutely drives home the criminality component. And of course, who's going to speak better about abortion than Kamala? Right? She's like stellar on the issue of abortions. And again, that's not an issue that Biden was very good at communicating. He wasn't very comfortable talking about it for whatever reason. She's a better messenger for those things. The kids love her. That was one of the big fears. That was one of the places where Biden was underperforming with young voters. She's crushing it with young voters. I think people are forgetting like the Palestine Hamas issues in the rearview mirror, just like Donald Trump's assassination attempt and all these other things that seem like a big deal in the moment. And now are, because this news cycle is so crazy, everything's old news almost immediately.
Right.
So you have all that, and the energy is just incredible, and the party now believes it can win. And that was one of the big challenges that Biden has, is that Democrats did not think that Biden could win. And people do think that Kamala can win. And I just don't see a scenario. Trump canceling the debate with her. He doesn't want to debate her. He's afraid of her. He doesn't know how to attack her. I think they're settling with cackling Kamala is like the latest.
Yeah, he's been, that's the latest.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. But I think she's weird.
He found some alliteration because when you play the dozens, you got to have cute alliteration. C and the K go together, cackling Kamala.
That's good for you, Donald. That's going to really win those college-educated suburban white women that you need so desperately to win. The Trump campaign itself is admitting that they screwed up by picking J.D. Vance as their vice presidential candidate. They realized that he brings nothing to the ticket.
Right.
Trump picked them because J.D. was good at kissing Trump's ass. I think it was as simple as that, and that's why he picked them, without any thought of how is he going to expand his base, how is he going to expand his appeal. And so they're struggling. Republicans struggling. They don't know how to attack her. And Mark, you and I know that Trump he's restraining himself right now, but it's not going to be long before he goes sexist, misogynistic, racist. It's inevitable. He cannot help himself.
And the worst thing of all, with young voters, especially young women voters, engaged, he is going to awaken that sleeping giant. By the way, I don't know if you watched her Monday, first public appearance after the nomination, and she was not campaigning, being the vice president. She had all of this year's NCAA championship teams and coaches. And I, from the way the young people, especially I was watching the young women in the crowd, I could not tell whether I was watching Kamala Harris or Taylor Swift. It was like they couldn't breathe. And it wasn't that kind of event. So nobody could touch. It was like they were trying to resist mobbing her, because these are young women in their lifetime looking like, I'm literally standing here with potentially the first woman president in history. And I'm 18, 19 years old. Mm-hmm. Gone. And I called back, said, y'all need to turn this on. Look at these young women. Just look at them. And they were just like, and not just black young women either. Young white, they were like, oh my God, they just couldn't. It was unbelievable. But now I want to go back just to cover our bases, because we've also said this. You and I raised this concern, and I think it was a credible concern, that Joe Biden was plain old white dude, old white bread, Wonder Bread. Trump's max is 47. And we know sometimes they don't turn out motivated. Mm-hmm. Does a black woman, or a woman for that matter, she checks about 5-6 boxes. Woman, black woman, South Asian woman, Caribbean woman, she checks all the DEI boxes to them. That's what we say. When there's no box unchecked.
She's not gay. I don't think she's gay.
She's not gay. At risk of sounding like Obama, attractive. I'm going to be honest with you. We're men. Some of the men who don't like her are the guys. She looks like the young lady you invited to the prom or the dance, and she said no. And so I think that's the incel thing that's happening with her. So the question becomes, is that 47% more mobilized now?
Yes.
Or what?
It will. I don't think he gets past 47. That is his demographic ceiling. The issue is, can he get all those people to turn out? And he probably will at this point. Right now, Republicans are demoralized. And right now, they're sucking wind. It's bad. It's so bad that you see some of them attacking Kamala for being weak on crime, and then others are attacking her for being too strong on crime. And so, they're all over the place. They'll get their act together. They just spent their convention, which is designed to mobilize and bring everybody together around a single message. They just spent the whole thing ragging on Joe Biden. I'm still laughing. And Donald Trump's crying that the Republican Party needs to be reimbursed for all the money they spent attacking Joe Biden. They crack me up. And so at some point, there is a possibility they never get their act together. Remember, just a little over a week ago, Donald Trump was shot at, and it's old history. So the cycle's moving so fast on it. None of us can be sitting there going like, all right, like we're good now. Because
actually, this is the second assassination with Kamala. This is the fatal one. He's two assassinated. One with actual bullet. The other one with Kamala Harris being the nominee now. But this is the fatal assassination.
So these are going to be long 3.5 months, just to be very clear. And there's going to be a lot of news cycles. And I suspect there's going to be a lot more crazy happening. I don't think we're done with the surprises, because this that kind of year. But we always assume, right? You always assume they're going to do their best. They're going to turn out every single one of them. We're going to assume that. Question is, we always leave more people on the table than they do, because our demographics, we've talked about it before, young, black, Latino, single women, young people. And those are all the same people, right? Because if you look demographically at who young people are, there's single women. The median age of a Latino voter in the U.S. is around 19 years of age. So it's a young community, and older people are white, right? So if you look at young people, basically, it's our core demographics. They're the least likely to turn out. We get excited if 30% of them turn out. Like, that's like massive. We get 50% to turn out for Kamala. Like, the black vote's actually approaching white people vote. And I think this year I wouldn't be surprised if it exceeds the white vote this year as a percentage of the population, right? Right. But if you get like young voters to get to 50%, it's not even close, Mark. It's not even close. So there is a huge opportunity. And this is why I don't get it, Mark. I'm too old now. It breaks my heart, but I don't understand what's happening on TikTok. But what I'm hearing is that it's Kamala Mania on TikTok. She is like a viral sensation. And we haven't even seen Taylor Swift engage and all sorts of other superstars. It's going to be a madhouse. And I am
Beyonce gave her permission to use her song Freedom. That's gone viral. That's
cool. We need Beyonce at the convention performing that song. And Mark, that convention, so they blew their convention. They got no bump out of it, no nothing. It was a snooze fest. It was a disaster. Trump was actually lucky that his speech did not get more attention because it was just as disqualifying as Biden's debate performance. But we got ours coming up, Mark, and it is going to be electric. Just thinking about the hero's welcome and send-off that Joe Biden is going to get. Ah, it just gives me chill thinking about it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a delegate. I get to be there. I didn't want to be there. Now I'm so happy I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And then Kamala's speech, and it's going to be just another world. And it's going to have, it's going to get so much attention. And Mark, I'm a little surprised, and I don't want to jinx things. But right now, the media coverage is actually shockingly good.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of that energy and because of the money flowing in and the volunteers and how quickly the party came together. It didn't give the media any opportunity to do what it wanted to do, which was to create they wanted a brokered convention. They wanted that more than anything, right? Because they wanted Democrats to be fighting with each other for the next, 4 weeks? They wanted Democrats to be fighting with each other for 4 weeks and the drama, and they could ignore Trump because they don't like to cover Trump. That makes them queasy to have it covered. Like, it was, now they have to write stories like, Donald Trump is the old person in the race.
Right.
What does that mean, right? And actually surprising how the media has just been forced to actually cover this from a perspective like she unified the party. Democrats are excited for her. Young voters are going insane for her. Like, it's a thing. It's like Obama, Mark. You remember it was a thing, right? It was like a movement. It was the energy was just incredible during the Obama, that first Obama run. And that's what I'm feeling right now. And it's hard for me to see how Trump manages it. And Trump's just going to get angrier and angrier as this proceeds, because he had a plan and it was working for him. And now suddenly he doesn't know what to do with yet another Black woman making his life difficult. He's just surrounded by Black women, like on all sides, judges and DAs and attorney generals. They're all going after me. He's all these Black women. And I can't, come on, Mark. This is like, we could not have scripted a better ending to Trump's career. So we got to bring it home. I'm going to say she's going to win. But when I say she's going to win, it's with the assumption that we all do what we need to do to make sure she wins. And that means donating not just to her, but other Democratic candidates, because every candidate that is able to run a better campaign lifts all the boats, lift each other. That means volunteering. It means getting your butt to a swing state near you. If you're in the West Coast, it's Nevada and Arizona, whatever's closest to you.
Right.
If you're in the East Coast, it's Pennsylvania. It's Michigan. If you're in the Midwest, it's Michigan, Wisconsin. There is a swing state near you. Georgia, if you're in the Southeast, there is a swing state near you. Everybody needs to either get their butts to one, make sure all your friends that you know in those states, you make sure they're registered to vote and they're going to turn out to vote, crash at their apartments or homes, knock on some doors, make phone calls, do what you need to do. We all need to do our part. But Mark, if we all do that, she's going to be the first woman president, first Black woman president, first South Asian woman president.
can't leave out my Caribbean friends.
Jamaican president. First Californian. First Western. Oh, no, not first Californian, because that was Ronald Reagan. First Western Democrat.
Nixon was kind of California.
No, Republican. And so was Reagan.
First
Democrat. Yeah.
From the West.
No, this is so many firsts. And there's so many ceilings. And each one of those glass ceilings is difficult to shatter, Mark. We know this. Hillary Clinton learned that in 2016. We all saw that and it crushed us. These glass ceilings are not easy, but Kamala can do it.
Yeah, yeah. I did an interview with Good Morning Britain the other day, and I talked about that because they were like, I said, look, you all have done this. Britain's had, what, two or three women prime ministers. India's had women prime. Every other country in the world. Germany, yeah. Has France had a woman? But it's not a thing.
No, France hasn't.
Hasn't had a woman. But in most, it's not a thing. It's literally not a thing. Britain just ousted its first Indian prime minister.
And now, keep in mind, though, in England, in the UK, they don't directly elect a prime minister.
Okay, yeah, I know that, but still.
So it makes it a little different. In Germany, they do, though, and they had Merkel. So, yeah, there are a lot of countries that have direct elections. I think Pakistan, which is a Muslim country, has elected a woman president.
Right.
We're it's a little sad for us right now, Mark.
Yeah, it's just wow. Okay. Deep stakes. Now, you know what I said to you in Netroots. And if this comes to pass, I'll be a prophet. But I said Whitmer. Now, she says she doesn't want to do it. But I hear that she's still being vetted. Because I don't know. I don't know that you really get to make that decision. I don't think you can actually say, if they call you Marcos, I don't know that you actually get to say no.
You do, because she just don't send in the vetting materials. That's a simple. You know why it's not going to be Whitmore? She's already Kamala's campaign co-chair. She's already at the head of the Kamala campaign.
Yeah, Dick Cheney was Bush's.
So, yeah, she would have to pull a Dick Cheney. I'm just going to assume that nobody except Dick Cheney is going to pull a Dick Cheney. And for those who don't know, Dick Cheney was in charge of picking the VP, and he picked himself.
That's right. It was terrible, y'all. It was really horrible about it. And folks were angry. Everybody sending all their vetting stuff. And then when they realized what Dick did, he was using that to get intel on any potential political allies or opponents. People were pissed. They were like, dude, you got all our information just so you could pick yourself? It was, you got all our information just so you could pick yourself. It was horrible. We're talking about mainstream Republicans. We can't believe this dude did this. What was that about? Yeah, so she had the dirt. It was like J. Edgar Hoover and Hoover. He used it to get everybody's dirt. So when Bush got in office, all them people couldn't say nothing. They just went absolutely it was horrible. It was horrible. So not Whitmer. Who are you thinking?
So there's a piece on Daily Cuss, if anyone wants to check it out by me, I just wrote about it. The four sort of credible candidates, and for the record, there's all sorts of articles about who's being vetted, who's not being vetted. I think most of them are BS. And some of them are claiming that J.B. Pritzker of Illinois, governor of Illinois, is being vetted. No, he's not. There's some of these, Tim Walz in Minnesota. No, he's not being vetted. Come on. So the ones that are credible and are quite easily the top candidates are Mark Kelly of Arizona. He's a senator, combat pilot, astronaut. Who doesn't love an astronaut? His wife is Gabby Giffords, the congresswoman who was shot point blank in an assassination attempt that killed six other people in a mass shooting, wounded 18. He can win Arizona. Fucking fantastic profile, right? So he's won. The governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who won his state by 15 points, the governor's race. When the Senate race with John Fetterman, he won it by 5. Hugely popular. There was a poll recently that found him to be the most popular poll governor in Pennsylvania history since they had been polling, whatever that poll was, in 60 years. He would definitely help bring Pennsylvania into the fold. You got North Carolina outgoing governor Roy Cooper, again, in a battleground state, leans slightly red, very popular governor. And the last one, which is a dark horse, would be Andy Beshear, who's the governor of Kentucky. Kentucky's one of the reddest states in the country. He didn't just win re-election to governor with a bigger margin than ever in 2022, but he did so running on a pro-abortion rights platform, very Democratic. None of these people are the kind of Democrats that run away from the party label. They're not Joe Manchin. They're not Joe Lieberman, right? These are actual real Democrats that somehow have the ability to win in very tough states. And Andy Beshear, in fact, won a 77% Trump county in his governor's race. His problem, obviously, is that he doesn't directly help bring his home state along like Roy Cooper, Mark Kelly, or Josh Shapiro would, which is why I think those are the three top choices. Senator, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, Governor Roy Cooper of North Carolina, or Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. I think those are the three top ones. And it's not a coincidence that they're all white men, and that's on purpose too. This idea of you want to balance the ticket, and given how much of a lightning rod it already is that Kamala is Black and a woman, creating some sort of stability in the ticket where they're not also attacking the vice president for being non-white and non-male helps. And that's a sad reality of the racial and sexism in our country right now, but it is what it is. We got to do what we got to do. Win. And anyway, the one that matters is the top of the ticket, and that's Kamala.
So a couple questions. Roy Cooper, a couple of things going on there. One, might he have an age issue? One, because he's 67 and everybody's sensitive to age. I'm not saying it's old myself, but a lot of people are sensitive to that these days, number one. Number two, so it's my understanding, and this is already picking up some, there's the crazy constitution of North Carolina says that whenever the governor is out of town, the lieutenant governor is automatically the acting governor. And the lieutenant governor is the absolute nut job who's running for governor, mm-hmm. Mark Robinson. So that's raised a lot of eyebrows that literally, while the cat, Roy Cooper in this case, would be away, Mark Robinson, the mouse, will play North Carolina. Are those two, the age and that factor, do you think those are non-negotiable in terms of picking Roy Cooper?
I think what the decision that's going to be made is who is best positioned to help Kamala win those key battleground states. And I have no doubt that they're probably pulling the crap out of all of those VP candidates in all of the relevant states. So I would be, obviously, they have to be. And so if it comes out that Roy Cooper is far and away the best option, I don't think he would
be. Is working. Yeah.
I think they'd be like, sorry, North Carolina. can... Best of luck. And
collateral damage.
Yeah. And Mark Robinson, he's got his own decisions to make too, because if he starts going crazy, he may lose the election. So it may be in his best interest just to keep his head down, campaign, and try to win instead of trying to do shenanigans at the state government.
But he ain't stopped you down. I don't, but the dude is crazy. He's not. The logic you're employing is
right. It's like that. You think that logic with Donald Trump, like it doesn't really work that way. Yeah, for sure. Any age thing, he's still 12 years younger than Trump. But at a time, if we want to create that really clear distinction, yeah, I think you're right. The other candidate, Beshear, is 48. The others are in the low 50s. I think it makes sense to go young.
And we texted about this the other day, just also to be clear, because I'm sure people's heads are already turning toward this. In any of these cases, and you have a senator in Arizona, if it's Kelly, he is elected to the vice presidency. The Democratic governor appoints.
The Democratic governor appoints, and then there's a special election in 2026 to fill the last 2 years of his term.
Okay,
not ideal. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not ideal. Tough state in a midterm of a third Democratic administration in a row. Might be a tough year for Democrats. What that means is that if we hold the Senate, we better freaking slam in Puerto Rico statehood and DC statehood and voting rights reforms and all those things. And then that makes it less of an issue. But yeah, it's not ideal. Shapiro, you have the lieutenant governor who's a Democrat, and he just serves out the rest of the term. So we're good there.
Okay.
Roy Cooper he's termed out. So right, I'll issue there.
Right.
Andy Beshear, the lieutenant governor, is also a Democrat, would finish out the rest of the term. But honestly, Kentucky also, it's if the polling somehow found Andy Beshear to be the best candidate, again, it's like good luck, Kentucky. Best of luck. We gotta save the country. You're on your own. So no, I'm gonna be harsh, but and the thing with Andy Beshear that I suspect he's not going to be the one is because he is as effective as he is statewide because he comes from a long line of political giants. The Beshear family is actually a political dynasty in Kentucky. That means nothing nationally. Nobody in Pennsylvania or Michigan or Wisconsin or North Carolina cares about the Beshear name. And he doesn't really bring Kentucky home. So I actually think Beshear is quite the dark horse. And Shapiro or Cooper, or Kelly, actually, even. But you know what? If I'm Kamala, I'm picking Shapiro and Cooper maybe second. And all they're doing is they're doing campaign rallies in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Omaha, Nebraska, because there's an extra electoral vote there, North Carolina, and then back to Pennsylvania, back to Michigan, Wisconsin, Omaha.
Right.
But, and just cycle them for the next 3 months or 2.5 months, because it would be after the at the convention where they would be announced. So that's really their job, right? So you got three white men who, but really probably two, whose only job would be to get those white union, like kind of iffy Democrats who are turning Republicans because of racism or whatever, just really hone in on those people. And what you're doing at that point is Kamala is going to get our base out. She's going to go into the city. She's going to drive the core Democratic base. I think those guys, the VP candidates, their job is to reduce the margins in those big, like the exurbs, where white exurban voters, a lot of them union work people, have left the Democratic Party because of social issues. That would be their job. Not to win them, but instead of losing those areas 80-20, you're losing them 65-35. Boom, that's it. We win.
Which really, at some point, we got to drill down on that, because all of the union leadership and all of their conventions are with us. And actually now, I think
Teamsters are, the guy spoke, I forget his name, the Teamsters president.
That's really about the only one.
Yeah.
And then W's on the fence, because as we know, we just learned the president of UAW felt that he should have been the nominee. That kind of shot either by union friends. Sean, the president of UAW.
But Fade, yeah.
Biden's the only president in the history of the whole wide world to go walk the picket line with them.
Yeah.
There was a story, because people have been talking to Sean, that he felt like he should have been the replacement. Now, I've been hearing some things that Sean is a little eccentric. You missed that, man. I thought I sent you that.
Oh, my God.
Who wrote that? It was an incredible piece, was it? I think what publication it was in. And so, you know, I want to put him out there. I hit up some of the big folks in the unions. I said, y'all know about this? He said, oh, yeah, Mark, you didn't know? Yeah, that's him.
Oh, he's so weird.
He might be waiting to be vetted. I don't know. But he was doing that even though Biden, and see, a lot of people pissed Biden off in the way this was done, including him. Because Biden was like, dude, I went up there and walked the picket line with you all. That's never happened before. So, yeah, that was one of those things. But the union leadership, and I've been to some of the conventions this summer. It's going to be interesting to see how much. I think you're right. I think it can go down to 60.
Yeah. So obviously union members used to be heavily Democratic constituency in 80-90%. I believe last in 2020, it was like 60-40 Democratic. So there's a big, and particularly I have friends that run or high leadership in the building trades. So the carpenters, electricians, those are heavily Republican now. Very blue collar. They're not college educated. They're mostly white. And they've fallen into the allure of Trumpism. Yeah. So they're like, I can't name names, but we have a hard time endorsing, because we'd be actually endorsing against our union. So they're actually better off not endorsing than asking their membership, because they would lose a membership vote. So So start eating into those people. Into that crowd. And again, you're not going to win these areas. You don't need to win these areas. You just can't be losing areas 90-10, 80-20.
Yeah, they can help. All right, folks. The battle is joined. This is it. We may make history.
We will, Mark. We will. And the reason I say that, Mark, is because people did not believe Biden could win. And that was screwing us more than the actual fundamentals of the race.
Right.
When we believe we can win, people work harder. People want to be part of winners. And the fundamentals again are even better than they were with Biden. Like that, they favor Kamala. So people need to believe that we can win, because we can. I mean, I don't blow smoke up anybody's ass. For me to be like, yeah, we're gonna win this thing if we do what we need to do, it's because we're gonna win this thing if we do what we need to do.
We believe that we will win.
Ah, for me,
that's what we say in the streets, y'all. So, y'all, we can do this.
And politics has gotten a lot more fun.
Yeah, overnight. Makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Well, God bless Joe Biden. We can't deny who he is. And also it says a lot about his humility up against someone else who really is running to be president solely for himself. No one can Joe.
Oh, the contrast. Holy crap, Mark. You're absolutely right.
And then Joe even folks set himself up at one time. You never would have seen an African-American on a ticket this way. But first of all, Joe stood in support of the first black president, then appoints the first black woman vice president, and then steps aside with the full knowledge that she would be his successor. That says a lot about him. So I think he's secured his place in history. He didn't do anything bad while he was president. He didn't do anything bad. The only possible stain will be Gaza, but I think even, and through his own approach lately, he's been able to distance himself from Netanyahu.
He's trying.
Yeah. And I think he has. He's been doing a lot better about it. Everybody doesn't quite get it because it's an oversimplification of the politics of the situation. If Marcos was president, I was vice president, it's not unlikely we would be in the same boat. It is messy. And it is
Netanyahu wants Trump to win. So, of course, he's not going to do anything to give Biden a victory. And he himself needs to stay in power. Because otherwise he's going to go to prison. He's just like Trump. And so he has no interest in ending the war. And this is a fundamental misalignment of interests, of motivations in Israeli politics that they need to figure that shit out.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting is that Kamala will actually take the meeting with Netanyahu. This is Wall Street Journal. The plan is for Harris to have her own separate meeting. She won't be in Washington, but she will not be there for his speech, preside over his speech. A lot of people are boycotting the speech. She's expected to tell Netanyahu now that it's time for the war to end. So we will see what comes from that.
And Biden said that the last thing he wants to do before his term is up is end the war in Gaza.
Yeah.
So, and maybe after the election, if Kamala wins, I think at that point, we're going to see big changes. If Kamala wins, big changes both in Israel, in that war, because I think Bibi's holding out, hoping that Trump wins, and also in Ukraine, because Putin is holding out, hoping that Trump wins and stops supporting Ukraine. This has consequences far beyond our borders as well. I know that's not in top of mind for obvious reasons, but these elections have global consequences.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Marcos Melissus. Thursday Coast, buddy, I thank you.
Thank you so much,
Mark. He says we're going to do this, y'all. Marco says I'm not the only person you all think is crazy saying it. Let's believe. We believe that we will win. Let's do it. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.